for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Passover Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Service being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, April the 15th, 2006. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on Sins Worthy of Death.
Praise you, Lord. Lord, we praise you. We ask you to cover us with your precious blood. We bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places, and on this earth we forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, against this meeting. You will not block the truth that sets us free. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. The Bible says he sent his word to heal you, right? Amen. I've discovered that all you have to do is repent over the word and you get delivered. Whatever your problem is, the answer is right here. And just do a word study on whatever that problem is and repent over it and you'll get a tremendous deliverance. You know, my nose is not running, but I can go anywhere in the word and start repenting. And within 10 minutes, tears are running out of my eyes and I'm blowing my nose. And that's what it means to be washed with water in the word. Amen. Amen. We've violated every scripture in here. If we haven't, our forefathers have. And basically, this message is not so much a message as it is a word study on sins worthy of death. And I believe that if we practice these scriptures and we're truly repentant, I believe that this is going to save some people's lives. Now, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. So we all have a time where God has appointed for us to go into glory. But these are sins that if we commit, we will die prematurely. I used to think that if a doctor ever told me I had a terminal disease, that I would look up all the scriptures on death and die and repent over all of them. Well, if somebody says you have cancer, they've given you a death sentence. And so recently my daddy and I were talking, and a great Christian here in the country died, and my dad had been listening to him on the radio, and he said, you know, I don't understand why God would take this godly man and he would leave me here, and I'm 92 and I'm not worth nothing. And I said, well, you're here for me, Dad. But anyway, the answer that came to me was that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And it says in 3 John, Beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So our health and prosperity will be in proportion to a prospering soul. Usually when people get sick or are given a death sentence, they go and look for some man to try to fix them instead of going to the great physician who is the Word of God, the living Word of God. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word. The Word is forever settled in heaven. The Word is like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. The scripture says that God watches over his word to perform it. And when you read the word, you are creating the presence of Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. Knowledge and understanding is the truth that sets you free. And God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Go, if you will, to Revelation. And I'm just going to take you through some scriptures and lead you in repentance, okay? Revelation chapter 3 says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. Because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, meaning I am absolutely abounding in Christian virtue and eternal possessions, because you say that, and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are miserable and that you are wretched, miserable, blind, and poor, blind, and naked. It says, I advise for you to buy from me gold refined by fire that you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. I liked what our brother said last night, to buy eye salve. And I've been buying things today. I'm going to think of some more things to buy, but that's that's good. But where it says, I advise for you to buy from me gold, that word gold is, in the Greek, it's gold that's been buried in the ground, and you have to dig it out. And so there's gold here in the Word of God, and you have to dig it out. Proverbs 25 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out. And so we need to look for the reasons why we have what we have. And so this message is on the sins worthy of death, and basically it's just a word study. And so you may have never committed any of these sins, but your forefathers have. And the scripture says that Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of his father, Abraham. And, of course, Abraham was Levi's great-grandfather. So if he paid tithes, which was a good thing, in the loins of his forefathers, what is that to say for the negative things that happen to us when we're in the loins of our forefathers? And something I've been doing recently is I was in Chicago, and there was a lady who had, she could not raise her hands any higher than this. She had arthritis so bad. She said, my daddy has this, and my grandfather had arthritis. And she said, he committed suicide, and my mother was a prostitute. And of course, the root of arthritis is bitterness. And, the scripture says the harlot is bitter. Prostitutes are bitter. And so I led her to forgive her grandfather for his bitterness and for committing suicide. I led her to forgive her dad. She said she was angry at her dad because he had taken her prostitute mother away from her. Then I led her to forgive her mother, who was a prostitute. The scripture says the prostitute is bitter. The whore is bitter. And so anyway, and then I had never done this before, but I pulled her out of the loins of 10 generations of her forefathers. And when I got through, and so there's things that happen to us when we're in the loins of our forefathers. And so, I shared this, when we take accountability for the generational iniquities of the forefathers, we're not saying, you know, forgive me for granddaddy's sin. We're saying, I recognize this stuff coming down my bloodline. Somebody in my bloodline has got to take accountability. I step up. I take accountability for everything that's come down, and I put it under the blood of Jesus, and I say that it can go no further on me or my descendants. And when you do that, you're really cleansing the bloodline of your mother, father, your brother, sisters. You're stepping up in your bloodline, and you're taking accountability. And I've seen people in my life change that don't even believe in deliverance or curses, just as I took accountability and asked God to cleanse the bloodline. Okay, sins worthy of death. Making covenants with death or being in the occult. Isaiah 28:1 says, woe to the proud crowns of the drunkards of Ephraim and to the fading flower of its glorious beauty. And then it says, because in verse 15, because you've said we've made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we've made a pact, the overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by, for we've made falsehood our refuge and we've concealed ourselves in deception. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead you in repentance. So Lord, I ask you to forgive me for making covenants with death and any occult involvement. I break all covenants that I or my forefathers made giving me to Satan or to any false god. And in Jesus' name, I just break all covenants of death, all blood covenants, and I renounce Satan and every false god, and I confess that Jesus Christ is the true and living God, and I make a new covenant with Him today to be His holy, obedient bride. In Jesus' name. And then the next thing is eating blood. Now, I know I read a scripture, and maybe Glenn or Dr. Null can help me. I read a scripture that eating blood can bring death, but I couldn't find it. And so the closest one I could find was in Leviticus 17:14 that says, "For as the life is in the flesh, its blood is identified with its life. Therefore, I said to the sons of Israel, you are not to eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off," which means be rejected or cut down. And that's close enough for me. Amen. I don't want to be cut down, do you? So, Lord, forgive me for eating rare meat, bloody meat, eating blood. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, and I forgive my forefathers for eating rare meat and eating blood in Jesus' name. And we'll break the generational curses. And then there's scriptures about profaning the sacred gifts of God. Hophni and Phinehas would be a good example, and Eli letting his children just be lawless. Defiling the tabernacle, unauthorized touching of holy things of God, ministering without proper cleansing, not properly keeping the charge of the Lord's, the things of the Lord. And I think this ties in the New Testament where it says there's a stricter judgment on a teacher. So, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for operating in the flesh. Forgive me for teaching or preaching with unconfessed sin in my life. Lord, you said that if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And then striking a person and they die, Exodus 21:17. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. And, of course, there's many, many other scriptures about if somebody is killed or blood is shed innocently, then that opens us up to a spirit of death. So, Lord, forgive me for murder. And I forgive my forefathers for murdering people. And, Lord, I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers. In Jesus' name. And then striking your mother and father. You know, I see little children hitting their mothers, hitting their fathers, and if you allow that, you are causing your child to be cursed. If they hit you when they're this little, they'll knock you out when they're teenagers. You think, well, I'm going to wait till they get a little older. Teach them day one that they better not hit. You see, because you're letting them come under a curse. And so striking your mother and father, Exodus 21:15, and he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. So, Lord, forgive me if I've ever hit my mother or father. And forgive me for the sin of allowing my children to hit me. And then kidnapping, Deuteronomy 24:7, if a man's caught kidnapping any of his countrymen of the sons of Israel, and he deals with him violently or sells him, then that thief shall die, so you shall purge the evil from among you. Exodus 21:16, and he who kidnaps the man, whether he sells him or if he's found in his possession, shall surely be put to death. So, Lord, if I've had forefathers that kidnapped anyone, or if I've kidnapped anyone, I ask you to forgive me, Lord. And then cursing your mother and father. Exodus 21:17. And he curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. You know, it says in Proverbs 30, the eye that mocks the father derides, makes fun of, belittles, ridicules the father, or despises, condemns a mother. The ravens of the valley will pluck out his eyes. That's one of the roots to eye problems. So, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for cursing my mother and father, speaking evil of my mother and father, mocking, deriding, and ridiculing my mother and father. You know, this may sound kind of silly to you, but let me tell you something. God sent His Word to heal you. And as you take accountability for these things, this is that many more death spirits off of you. Amen? bless the Lord. Okay, if a person had an ox who was in the habit of goring and its owner had been warned, yet he did not confine the ox and it killed someone, it says in Exodus 21:29, if however an ox was previously in the habit of goring and its owner had been warned, yet he does not confine it and it kills a man or woman, the ox shall be stoned and its owner shall always be also be put to death. So Lord, if I've had forefathers whose animals kill someone, I take accountability for it. And if I've done it, I ask you to forgive me, Lord. And the next thing is bestiality. That's letting an animal touch you in an inappropriate way or touching an animal in an inappropriate way. Exodus 22:19, whoever lies with an animal shall surely be put to death. Leviticus 20:15, if a man who lies with an animal, he shall surely be put to death. You shall also kill the animal. Leviticus 20:16, if there is a woman who approaches any animal to mate with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. How many of you know that the Old Testament is for today? The Scripture says all, somebody quote that, all Scripture is, and I can show you probably 30 other Scriptures. Jesus rebuked them for not being slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken, and that was in Luke. Okay, so Lord, forgive me for bestiality. I forgive my forefathers for bestiality. And then not keeping the Sabbath. And I'm glad you brought that out, because I have been wondering about Saturday, Sunday. And thank you. I'm going to read your little book. But anyway, is it the Sabbath rest in the New Testament? Us walking in the Spirit, walking in God's rest. Is that the Sabbath? Right. Okay. So Lord, forgive me for not keeping the Sabbath. Doing my own pleasure and working 7 days a week instead of 6 days and resting a day and honoring you with that day. And then the next thing is offering your children to Molech. Leviticus 22, you shall also say to the sons of Israel, any man from the sons of Israel or from the alien sojourning in Israel who gives any of his offspring to Molech shall surely be put to death. So, Lord, we renounce Molech. We break all covenants to Molech. And, Lord, in Jesus' name, we take accountability. If our forefathers ever offered their children to Molech, God, we take accountability. And, Lord, we've offered our children to Molech, just teaching them to live after the world. Forgive us, Lord. We take accountability. And then committing adultery, abortion is, right, absolutely. Abortion, if you've ever had an abortion, if you've ever talked anyone to an abortion, one way it affects us is if there's abortion in our bloodline, it causes all of our efforts to be aborted. And so, Lord, we just ask you to forgive us if we've ever had an abortion. We ask you to ask our dead babies to please forgive us. And, Lord, we forgive our forefathers for abortion and the spirit of abortion, offering their children to Molech, and then committing adultery is another one. Deuteronomy 22:22 says, if a man is found lying with a married woman, then both of them shall die, the man who lay with the woman and the woman, thus you shall purge the evil from Israel. You say, well, you know, I committed adultery before I became a Christian. You still have to take accountability for it. Yeah, for us to put our sins under the blood of Jesus, we've got to confess our sins. Now, if some of you grew up with harsh, stiff, stern, raging, performance, legalistic mothers and fathers, and you hear a word like this, you think, dear God, God is going to kill me any minute. God doesn't want to kill you. He wants you to have the truth that sets you free. He wants you to have the knowledge that keeps you from perishing. This may keep you from having some kind of dreaded disease one of these days. Amen? You know, how many of you know that cancer runs in bloodlines? Sickness and disease. The world doesn't have a problem believing in genes. When you go to the doctor, he takes a medical history. They don't have a problem with that. But if you call it a curse, they have a fit. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for committing adultery. Adultery is when you have sex with a person that's married and you're married. So, Lord, I just ask you to forgive me. I forgive my forefathers for being adulterers. And then if a man lies with his father's wife, his daughter-in-law lying with his uncle's wife, this is all incest. Incest is when you have sex or even inappropriate touch with a person that's in your bloodline. It's a wonder that I even have a brain. I just found out that my grandfather's mother and father were second cousins. Curse of incest. I used to judge people. I thought, oh, I can't believe they had incest in their family. Oh, my goodness. God forgive me. But incest comes down generationally. So, Lord, I ask you to forgive me if I've ever touched a family member inappropriately. And, Lord, if any of it has ever touched me, I forgive them. I forgive my forefathers for being whoremongers and being incestuous. And I break the curse of children being born through incestuous unions. And then raping another person. Deuteronomy 22:25. But if in the field the man finds the girl who's engaged and the man forces her and lies with her, then only the man who lies with her shall die. So rape. Lord, I take accountability for any rape coming down my bloodline. If I've ever done that or if it's ever been done to me, forgive me and I forgive every person who's done that to me. And then homosexuality and lesbianism. Leviticus 20:13. If there's a man who lies with a male as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. So, Lord, I renounce homosexuality and lesbianism. And, Lord, forgive me if I've ever committed those sins. And I forgive my forefathers for committing those sins. You know, mentioning incest. I've asked girls, did your daddy ever sexually molest you? And they'll say, no, but I knew he wanted to. You see, that's spiritual molestation. Because Jesus said, if you look with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. Is that right? So, Lord, I just forgive my father for being perverted. And I forgive my forefathers for being perverted. And then being a medium or a spiritist, a spiritualist. Leviticus 20:28, now man or woman who is a medium or a spiritist shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood guiltiness shall be upon them. So, Lord, I renounce mediums and spiritists in the name of Jesus. And let's get to the legalism. Lord, I forgive my forefathers and my mother and father for being harsh, stiff, and stern, for no mercy, for raging, for being demanding and unforgiving, which has caused me to believe a lie that you're demanding, that you're a legalistic God, that you're an unforgiving God, that you give me no mercy. That's a lie. God, you are slow to anger. You're a God full of mercy. And Lord, I renounce legalism that's come down my bloodline in the name of Jesus. And I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, and I renounce the lie that if I don't toe the mark, you're going to kill me. Lord, you just want me to know the truth that sets me free. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now I come against the spirit of legalism. You know, legalism is when you try to turn the potter's wheel. You try to do it yourself. You strive according to your mighty power. Versus abiding in Christ is you give up your life. You give up control of your life. You get on the potter's wheel and all you do is obey through God's mighty power. You see the difference? If you're legalistic, you've got a list of do's and I got to do this, 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 this. I'm not talking about legalism. Actually, disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments is legalism. because you're trying to do it yourself. You're trying to turn the potter's wheel. And even if you could do it, you'd be so full of pride that nobody could stand you. God says, yield to me and my resurrected power will come through and you'll be striving according to the mighty power that works in you. It'll be God doing it. If you're legalistic, you think you've got to do it. Does that make sense? But when you're abiding in Christ, yielded to His Lordship, given up your life that you might find it, then the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus comes through, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets you free, carries you above it. So I'm not trying to give you a bunch of do's and don'ts. I'm just wanting to give you insight to know why sometimes people die. Okay, murder. Leviticus 24:17. And if a man takes the life of any human being, he shall surely be put to death. So, Lord, we've already confessed murder in the bloodline, murdering little babies, murdering through abortion. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, I take accountability for the shedding of blood that's come down my bloodline. I put that under the blood of Jesus. If I've ever killed people with my mouth and my words, I ask you to forgive me, Lord. Did I renounce mediums and spiritists? I renounce that in Jesus' name. Lord, I take accountability for any mediums or spiritists that were in my family. I put that under the blood of Jesus. And God, I just take accountability and forgive me if I've ever been in the occult in Jesus' name. And then willful sin, Numbers 15:33. And those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And they put him in custody because it had been declared what should be done to him. And, of course, they stoned him in Numbers 15. It says in Hebrews that if you go on willfully sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of a judgment, of a fury of a fire that will consume the adversaries. And that was talking about the old covenant. And then it says, how much more will... Go to Numbers, please. Not Numbers. I'm sorry. Hebrews. I don't know where I got Numbers. Hebrews 26. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice of sin, but a certain terrifying expectation of a judgment and the fury of a fire that will consume the adversaries. Now, the scripture says, if you make yourself a friend of the world, you've made yourself an enemy of God. And then it says, anyone who set aside the law of Moses dies without without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now, the first part of that is for the old covenant. Now this is the new covenant. Verse 29. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified? So you see, he's a sanctified person. And has insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who has said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, and again the Lord will judge whose people? His people. So if we go on willfully sinning, there's no sacrifice of sin. But if you stop sinning, there is a sacrifice for sin. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And then making death wishes, wishing you were dead. Have you ever wished you were dead? When you do, you open yourself up to a spirit of death. If you ever wish someone else was dead, that opens you up to a spirit of death. So, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for wishing I was dead. Forgive me for wishing other people were dead. I break those vows. I break those death wishes. And I forgive my forefathers for wishing they were dead, for committing suicide and wishing other people were dead. And then Numbers 151 says a layman who comes near the tabernacle. It says, so when the tabernacle is set out, the Levites shall take it down, and when the tabernacle encamps, the Levites shall set it up, but the layman who comes near it shall be put to death. And Lord, I don't know what all that means, but if I had forefathers that came near your tabernacle in a wrong way, or if I've ever done that, I ask you to forgive me and teach me what that means, Lord. Maybe someone here knows what it means, but I don't. Okay, false prophets. Deuteronomy 13:5 says, but that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord, your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. Verse 10, so you shall stone him to death because he sought to seduce you from the Lord. So, Lord, forgive me for listening to false prophets. Forgive me for rebellion. And, Lord, I take accountability for my forefathers who listened to false prophets. And I forgive them. Deuteronomy 21:20, being a stubborn and rebellious child. Dr. Null covered this today. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And so then all the men of the city shall stone him to death. Today we get stoned to death. When we're in God's refuge, representing Psalms 91, we're protected. We get outside of God's refuge, and the powers of darkness stone us to death. If a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Right? I know God is pleased with me when my enemy is not shouting triumph over me. Amen? Proverbs 17:11, a rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. So today, when we're submitted to God in his refuge, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, and abiding under his shadow and protection, being on his potter's wheel is another way to say it, giving up control of my life, I'm protected. But when I get outside of God's will, I'm out here in Satan's territory, and I get stoned by the powers of darkness. Okay, if a girl was not a virgin when a man married her, then she was stoned to death. Deuteronomy 22:21, then they shall bring out the girl to the doorway of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her to death. You know, if you do a word study in the Bible on the wrath of God, you'll see sexual sin brings the wrath of God. I'm amazed at how many people that call themselves Christians that think nothing of shacking up. Can I tell you that the Bible says that sexual sin affects your body, and whoever sexually sins, sins against his own body. And no sin affects the body like sexual sin. It opens you up to a spirit of death. So, Lord, I just renounce sexual sin. I ask you to forgive me. And if you've never broken soul ties with the people you've had sex with, even before you married or before you became a Christian, you need to do that, because through soul ties, they're still connected to you. Yes, sex, yeah. Even if you marry that person, if you marry the person you had sex with, you still have an evil, ungodly soul tie. Huh? Okay, so Lord, forgive me for having sex before marriage, sex out of wedlock. God, I ask you to forgive me for sexual sin. All the times I've sinned sexually, I forgive every person who's raped me or molested me or sinned against me sexually. And forgive me for doing that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut every ungodly soul tie, linking my soul to theirs. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now I command every demon that came in through sexual sin, all spirits of death, out in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to cleanse them by the blood of Jesus from all defilement in Jesus' name. We break soul ties with our forefathers. We break soul ties with the people they had soul ties with. We cut and sever every cord of control, linking their souls to ours. We call back our soul and spirit from them. We send back everything of ours that got on them, and we exchange their image for the image of Christ. And I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus is Lord. I just loose in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I loose upon this congregation the shaking loose of everything that's shakable, so that those things that are unshakable will remain in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We lose understanding. We buy wisdom. We buy gold. We buy an understanding. We bind discretion. We lose discretion, not binding. We lose discretion. We lose understanding. We lose knowledge, counsel, might. We lose insight. We lose the conviction of sin, the fear of the Lord, and a spirit of repentance over us in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. And then, for not choosing life. God says in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, "See, I've set before you this day death and life, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life." So, Lord, forgive me for choosing the way of death, not choosing life. I choose life now. And I forgive my forefathers that they chose death and curses instead of blessings. And then rebelling against the word of God, the man of God or the woman of God. Joshua 1:18, "Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." Then go if you will, to Deuteronomy 17. If someone's speaking the word of God to you and you don't listen, it opens you up to a death curse. If I say, "Thus says the Lord," and the Lord didn't say, that opens me up to a curse of death. Deuteronomy 17 says, "And the man who acts presumptuously by not listening to the priest who stands there to serve the Lord your God, nor to the judge, that man shall die. Thus you shall purge the evil from Israel." And then if you look in chapter 18, verse 20, "Now, but if the prophet who shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die." Now, you know, if you don't know that you know that you know that you know that God said it, you better say, "I believe the Lord is telling me this." That's safer. And I believe in prophecy. I want to operate in that gift more than I do. But I want to say what God says. Okay, so Lord, forgive me for not listening to the word of God through the prophet. And forgive me for saying that you said when you didn't say. And Lord, I take accountability for my forefathers who've done that. And then anger and vexation. Job 5:2 says, "Vexation slays the foolish man, and anger kills the simple." Yeah, anger has its roots in idolatry. Job 5:2. The idolatry, you can look in Deuteronomy 32. It says, "Jezreel grew fat, kicked, they worshiped false gods, and God turned them over to jealousy, and he turned them over to anger, and he turned them over to terror, which is to be overcome by fear. He turned them over to plague, over to bitterness. They lost their understanding, and they were wounded." And that's what happens when we turn to false gods. So, Lord, forgive me for practicing anger. Galatians says, if you practice anger, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not talking about a one-time sin of anger. It's talking about a lifestyle of it. If you're an angry person, you're getting your button pushed all the time and your parade rained on. Every place you get your button pushed, it's rooted in anger and hurt and woundedness, and it's rooted in idolatry. So, Lord, forgive me for anger and vexation that has been killing me. I remove vexation, grief and anger from my heart, and you said I can put pain out of my body. Pain is rooted in vexation and anger, in vexation. Vexation is grief and anger. So if you've got pain in your body, it is rooted in some place you let the sun go down on your anger or places. The other day, there's a man that helps me sometime, and he's led a beat down life. And about 15 years ago, he fell about 20 feet and landed on his leg and just crushed the bone. And he almost lost his leg. He prayed that God would spare his leg. He's been in continual pain for 15 years. When he began to forgive, I said, "Were you angry when you fell?" He said, "Well, yeah, I was a little frustrated because the guys wanted to quit work and he wanted to keep working. So he kept working. It was like, I'll show them, you know." And he fell off of a scaffold. And then he was angry at himself. And then he was angry at the doctors that had done all the surgery on him. And when he forgave all those people, by the time he got out of the car, he had no pain in his leg. Because he was, you know, when you let the sun go down on your anger, the Bible says you give a foothold to the devil. And whoever hurts you, if you let the sun go down on it, you'll carry the pain wherever you were hurt. Like emotional pain, if somebody hurts you in the emotions, you let the sun go down on it, you're going to carry pain there the rest of your life. Get rid of the grief and the anger, and you can put pain out of your body. If somebody twists your arm and you let the sun go down on it, you'll have an arm problem the rest of your life until you forgive them and break soul ties. Praise the Lord. So, Lord, and then forgive me for wickedness. It says, being wicked and not knowing God, Job 18:7 says, the vigorous stride is shortened and his own scheme brings him down. Verse 13, read the whole chapter, but the verse 13 says, his skin is devoured by disease and the firstborn of death devours his limbs. It kind of sounds like cancer, doesn't it? So, Lord, forgive me for wickedness. And, Lord, I forgive my forefathers for being wicked. And then not fearing and hoping in the Lord. Psalms 33:18 says, behold, the eyes of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. So, Lord, forgive me for not hoping in you and not fearing you. And I want to say something about the fear of God. A demonic fear of God will cause you to run from God, and that comes in through being fearful of your mother or father. But the true fear of God will cause you to run to God in repentance. See, there's a difference. Demonic fear causes you to, oh, I'm afraid of God. And that comes in through being fearful of a parent. So, Lord, forgive me for not fearing you. And I forgive my earthly parents that I was afraid of them. And then lacking understanding is another thing that opens you up to a spirit of death. Psalms 13:3, consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. So, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for not having understanding. Understanding is the truth that sets you free. Understanding is the opposite of folly. The Bible says, forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. Lord, I forgive my forefathers that they lacked understanding. And forgive me for lacking understanding. And what will block understanding, Dr. Null read in the King James is... not harlotry. In the New American Standard says harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. It says whoredom and harlotry takes away the understanding. Is that what the King James says? Whoredom takes away the heart. And the New American Standard says harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. And the last verse or two of that chapter says, and the people without understanding are ruined. It takes understanding to have the truth that sets you free. Proverbs 15 says that when we receive God's discipline, we gain understanding, which is the truth that sets us free. Okay, being a fool. Psalms 49:12 says, but man in his pomp will not endure. He's like the beasts that perish. Verse 14 says, as sheep they are appointed for Sheol, death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. So, Lord, forgive me for being a fool. I forgive my forefathers for being a fool. The scripture says you can pound a fool in a pestle along with crushed grain, and his folly will not depart from him. So, Lord, forgive me that I have not let go of my folly. I've been a fool, and I've come out of generations of fools. And I forgive them, Lord. And then others cursing you to death. How many of you know the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity, and it sets on fire the very course of your life? Words that were spoken to you when you were over you in the womb, words that have been spoken to you after you were born, words spoken over you by doctors that you've got 3 weeks to live, or other people, curses spoken. Psalms 109:16, because he did not remember to show loving kindness, but persecuted the afflicted and needy man and the despondent of heart to put him to death. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my forefathers, my mother and father, for speaking words of death, words of iniquity, curses and assignments over me, and wishing I was dead, and then being a harlot. Now, being a harlot, it says, her house sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to the dead, Proverbs 2:18. Now, a physical harlot is a person that sells herself sexually to anyone that she can get money from. But a spiritual harlot is, if I pray a prayer to receive Jesus, then I'm going to be the bride of Christ. And then my heart goes after all these idols and these other lovers, then I'm a spiritual harlot. So, Lord, forgive me for committing spiritual adultery against you. And forgive me for being a physical harlot and a spiritual harlot, which would cause my feet to go down to death. And then being slack, the next thing is being slack. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you're slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. Deliver those who are being taken away to death and those who are staggering to slaughter. You see, if I'm slack, I don't overcome, do I? So, Lord, forgive me for being slack in the day of distress. I forgive my forefathers for being slack in the day of distress. And then the next thing is children who are not disciplined by their parents. Proverbs 19:18 says, discipline your son while there's hope and do not desire his death. The word says, if you love your children, you will discipline them. And that means you'll use the rod. When you say no, you need to teach them that no, if they don't obey you, that it will cause them great pain. And then all you have to do is say it one time. You know, I taught my kids to obey on the 10th time. What? Okay, I'm going to give you 10 chances. You know, you can teach them to obey you the first time better. Then you don't nag them in between. So, Lord, forgive me for not disciplining my children. And, you know, if you want to destroy your child, you want to make him manic depressive, you want to make him have mental problems, you just don't correct him. It's the root of bipolar, manic depressive, and all kinds of mental problems. And I forgive my parents for not disciplining me. And I want to say that discipline is not just a spanking. There's only one negative side of discipline, and that's a spanking if you don't listen. The positive sides of discipline is love, care, nurture, protection, hugs, kisses, forgiveness, teaching, training, guiding. Just you could go on and on and on about the positive aspects of discipline. I forgive my forefathers for being undisciplined. And I forgive my parents for not loving me enough to discipline me. And then the next thing that brings death is the getting of treasure by a lying tongue. Proverbs 21:6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. How many of you have manipulated people for money? Lord, forgive me for lying to get treasures. I forgive my forefathers for lying to get treasures. Forgive me for being a sluggard. It says the desire of the sluggard puts him to death. So, Lord, I ask you to forgive me that my hands have refused to work. The next thing is being deceived. Proverbs 26:18. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was just joking. You know, if somebody says, I was just joking, no, they weren't, because what's in your heart comes out your mouth. Is that right? So, Lord, forgive me for deceiving others. I forgive other people for deceiving me. I forgive my forefathers for being deceivers. And then the next thing is worship in the sun, moon, and the stars, and the host of heaven. Jeremiah 8:3. I'm not going to read that, but you can read it. And then the next thing is walking after the stubbornness of your own heart. Jeremiah 9:16 says, and I will scatter them among the nations whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I'll send the sword after them until I have annihilated them. For death has come up through our windows. It has entered our palaces to cut off the children from the streets, the young men from the town squares. You know, if you've had Indian ancestry or if you've had occult ancestry, any occult ancestry opens you up to a spirit of death. So, Lord, forgive me for worshiping the sun, moon, and the stars and the host of heaven and walking after the stubbornness of my own heart and after false gods. And I forgive my forefathers for doing the same thing. And then the next thing is trying to kill or plot against or speak against God's true prophets, Jeremiah 26:15. And in Jeremiah 11:22 and Jeremiah 18:21. And then the next thing is, Lord, forgive me for trying to kill or plot against or speak against your true prophets. And I forgive my forefathers for doing the same. And then the next thing is oppressing the poor and needy, committing robbery, eating at the mountain shrines, defiling your neighbor's wife, not keeping your word, and committing abominations. Ezekiel 18:13. He lends money on interest and takes increase. Will he live? He will not live. He's committed all these abominations. He will surely be put to death. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for oppressing the poor and needy, committing robbery, eating at the mountain shrines, defiling my neighbor's wife, not keeping my word, and committing abominations. And I forgive my mother and father and forefathers for doing the same. And then pride is another thing that opens you up to death. Ezekiel 28:2, 6, 7, 8, and 9. It says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you've made your heart like the heart of God, therefore, behold, I'll bring strangers upon you, the most ruthless of the nations, and they'll draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor, and they'll bring you down to the pit, and you'll die the death of those who are slain in the heart of the sea. So, Lord, forgive me for pride. I forgive my forefathers for their pride. Forgive me for exalting myself and for wickedness. And then the next thing is being misled by false prophets. Lord, forgive me for allowing myself to be misled by false prophets. And then the next thing is speaking evil of your mother and father. Mark 7:10. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. God, forgive me for speaking evil of my mother and father. And I forgive my forefathers for speaking evil of their mothers and fathers. And then the next thing is giving hearty approval to evil. Romans 1:32. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So, Lord, forgive me for giving hearty approval to evil. And I forgive my forefathers for calling evil good and good evil, and forgive me for doing that. The next thing is being a slave to sin. Romans 6:16. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you're slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. So, Lord, forgive me for being a slave of sin instead of being a slave of yours. And I forgive my forefathers for being slaves of sin. And then the next thing is living under the law through disobedience, being outside of God's umbrella of protection, being out here. Romans 7:5. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members of our body to bear fruit for death. You see, when I am submitted to Him on His potter's wheel, my life will produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. When I'm out here, there is a law, and demons are executors of the law. So, Lord, forgive me for not living under your umbrella of protection through submission to your lordship and being in the flesh. Forgive me for sinful passions that are aroused by the law. You see, also, if you're submitted to the Lord, you have self-control. Out here, there's no control. The Bible says there's no law here. There's a law here. The law arouses in me sinful passions. And see, I know when I start craving my thing, craving food, craving sex, craving drugs, I'm out here under the law because the law arouses in me sinful passions. But when I choose death to my flesh, then another law takes over, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and sets me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And then living a lifestyle of sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Lord, forgive me for being a slave of sin, living a lifestyle of sin. And I forgive my forefathers for being slaves of sin, living lifestyles of sin, being outside of your will, outside of your of Psalms 91, outside of your umbrella of protection. I forgive my forefathers for living under the shadow of death. And then the next thing is having a mindset on the flesh. Romans 8:6 says, for the mindset on the flesh is death, and the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. So, Lord, forgive me that I've had a mindset on my flesh and my forefathers. I forgive them for having a mindset on the flesh. And then living after the flesh. Romans 8:13, for you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So, Lord, forgive me for living after the flesh, and I forgive my forefathers for living after the flesh. And then the next thing is taking the Lord's Supper with sin in your life. The Bible says some of you are sick and weak, and some of you even sleep, which I believe means die. So, Lord, forgive me for all the times I've taken the Lord's Supper with sin in my life. I forgive my forefathers for doing the same. Forgive me for not judging my body rightly to keep myself from being judged. And then the next thing is grief not taken to the cross and dealt with God's way. There's a sorrow that leads to repentance, but there's a sorrow that leads to death. If I have grief and I don't go to God and grieve it out and go to God and deal with it God's way, it opens me up to a spirit of death. So, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for all the times that I have just let the sun go down on my grief and I've not brought my grief to you with the sorrow that leads to repentance. And, Lord, I renounce the grief that's passed down generationally. And then the next thing is when you act out your lust, the Scripture says, when lust is conceived, it brings forth death. Is that correct? Now, if you look up here, if I have a thought to lust, and I'm like, I take my thoughts captive, I reject that thought, that's not a sin. But if I have a thought to lust, and I go, yeah, I received it, right? So, Lord, forgive me for letting lust conceive in my heart. And I forgive my forefathers for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. And then Genesis 2:17 says, I die if I eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And boy, there's a lot of trees out there where there's the knowledge of good and evil. That's why I love Lake Hamilton, because I don't believe I've ever been here that I haven't heard a teaching that lined up with the Word of God. But most places you go, you better be careful because you're eating off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Especially if they say gold dust is falling down and all this kind of weird stuff. You know, that's just ministering to people's idols. I mean, you'd run after the diamonds falling and the gold dust and all that kind of stuff. Lord, forgive me for all the times I've eaten off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of off the tree of life. Lord, you said that you're true ministers are trees of life. And Lord, I want to be a tree of life. And then Leviticus 10:9 says, bring an alcohol into the temple. How many times have you ever come to church with alcohol? Leviticus 10:9, do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you nor your sons with you when you come into the tent of meeting, so that you may not die. Lord, forgive me. I forgive my forefathers for being alcoholics and hypocrites, and forgive me for being a hypocrite and an alcoholic. And then speaking against authority, Numbers 14:35. Numbers 17:10 says, but the Lord said to Moses, put back the rod of Aaron before the testimony be kept as a sign against the rebels, that you may put an end to their grumblings against me, so that they should not die. So, Lord, forgive me for grumbling against authority, against my mother and father, against my pastor, against authority figures. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. And then 1 Kings 1:16 says, when we inquire of false gods, we ask false gods things. 2 Kings 1:16. Then he said to him, thus says the Lord, because you've sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, it is because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word. Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed where you've gone up, but you shall surely die. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for inquiring of false gods and fortune tellers, and I forgive my forefathers. And then Proverbs 5:23 says, we'll die for the lack of instruction. Lord, forgive me for lacking your instruction, lacking the knowledge that keeps me from perishing. And then Proverbs 15:10 says that if you hate correction, you'll die. Stern discipline is for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die. The scripture says he who loves his own soul will love correction. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for hating correction, and I forgive my forefathers for hating correction. And then the next thing is not keeping God's commandments. Proverbs 19:16. He who keeps the commandments keeps his soul. He who is careless of his ways will die. So, Lord, forgive me for not keeping your commandments, which is to love you with my whole heart and my neighbor as myself. That fulfills the law under the new covenant. And Lord, forgive me for being careless of my ways. And then the next thing is counseling rebellion against the Lord. Jeremiah 28:16. Therefore says the Lord, behold, I'm about to remove you from the face of the earth. This year you're going to die because you've counseled rebellion against the Lord. Lord, forgive me for counseling rebellion against you. And I forgive my forefathers. Then the next thing is committing iniquity. Jeremiah 31:30. But everyone will die for his own iniquity. Each man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge. So, Lord, forgive me. And I forgive my forefathers for eating sour grapes, which could be one of the reasons my teeth are on edge. I forgive them. And then going to the world for answers. Jeremiah 42:17. So all the men who set their mind to go to Egypt, that's the world, to reside there, will die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, and they'll have no survivors or refugees from the calamity that I'm going to bring on them. So, Lord, forgive me for going to the world for answers, and I forgive my mother and father and forefathers for going to the world for answers. And then Ezekiel 18:24 says, a righteous man who turns from his righteousness will die. So, Lord, forgive me for turning back, and I forgive my forefathers for turning back. And then forgive me for apostasy. That's falling away from the faith. The Bible says in latter times men will fall away from the faith and give heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. And one way they do that is through seeking psychologists to solve a demon problem. That's just slapping a Band-Aid on a spiritual problem. I had a lady tell me once, you know, my psychiatrist said I'd never get well. I said, he's right. If you keep going to him, you never will get well. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for going to the world. Forgive me for apostasy, falling away from the faith. And then the next thing is believing that being saved by grace is a license to sin. Amos 9:10 says, all the sinners of my people will die by the sword. Those who say the calamity will not overtake me, I'm saved by grace. I couldn't have a demon. So, Lord, forgive me for saying calamity will not overtake me or confront me. And then the next thing is not believing that Jesus is Jesus, that he's the Son of God. John 8:24 says, if you do not believe that I am he, then you shall die in your sins. So, Lord, forgive me for not believing that you, Lord Jesus, are the Son of God, the King of kings, manifested in the flesh, walked upon this earth, died and was resurrected, shed your precious blood for me. And then the next thing is being a fool and not listening to God. Proverbs 1:32 says, for the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. So, Lord, forgive me for naivety and complacency that would destroy me. Now, the good news says, is when you call upon him, Psalms 116:1 says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. Because he's inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call on him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. I beseech thee, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yes, our God is compassionate to hear the groanings of the prisoner, to set free those who were doomed to death. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I call upon you, and I thank you for the truth that sets me free. Lord, I take accountability for all of these things and whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, will you start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers and through my own sin. In Jesus' name, I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, and I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut and sever every cord of control, linking their souls to mine. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. And I stand up in my bloodline and I take accountability for all of this stuff coming down my bloodline. And I put it under the blood of Jesus. And I say it goes no further than my descendants or me. In Jesus' name, praise you, mighty God. Praise you, God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Spirit of death, out in Jesus' name. All spirits of death, go out. All spirits of sickness, all spirits of disease, go. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. All spirits of murder, all sexual perversion, out. All spirits of lust, idolatry, out in Jesus' name. I break your power. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, God. Bless you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. Praise you, Lord. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we loose holy angels to give us a spiritual shower and cleanse us, Lord, by the blood of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. We command all spirits of cancer out. All spirits of skin cancer out. All spirits of cancer out. Destruction and death. Go. Desolation. You have to go in Jesus' name. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. How many of you felt some relief? Put your hands up if you felt relief. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Huh? You are dismissed until 6 o'clock in the morning.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.